Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. We're beginning Chapter 60. This is a good one today, meaning that it's a we have the books of prophecy that talk about rebuke, and then we have the books of redemption, of the books of the good news. This is one of the seven that's read in the summertime, what they call the seven Haftorahs of comfort, that's read towards the end of the summer, leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And it's actually read on Parsha, it's the Haftorah for Parshas Kisavo. And it's interesting, in the Parshas Kisavo, the Parsha itself talks about the exile, and there's a corollary between the Torah reading and the Haftorah. In the Torah reading, it talks about how things will go dark for us, like we'll be like walking in the dark, like the blind man groping in the dark. You get a picture of that if you look at some of the dilemmas that are going on in the world, let's say like in Syria or in other places where people are groping around for a solution, and they're like going in circles, you know, they're like the blind man in the dark, you know, they're looking around and they're stumbling and they don't know the way out. And so the Parsha describes us as being in the dark, and in fact that was one of the plagues in Egypt, was the darkness. So we're going to see in this Parsha of redemption, it's going to talk about light. In fact, in Purim also we talk about light. But it's not just a light, it's the idea that we know where we're going. There's no confusion. And a person lives in times of confusion, of gloom. Light means there's clarity, and it means you feel good. It's like you walk out on a sunny day. I felt that way yesterday, you know, after all the snow and the ice, and the sun came out and it was warm. I said, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be in Atlanta, or whatever. So opposite the darkness, so that's the first thing, is that opposite the prediction of darkness, we get the prediction of light. And that's just to keep in mind, light means more than just light. It means clarity, it means optimism. And then part of the prophecy was that, or part of the rebuke was that we would have... we wouldn't be able to do for our children, but we would handicap our children. Meaning it says you'll eat the flesh of your children, which some people take it literally, but other people say that parents like to be able to benefit their children, to give their children everything they can. They don't like to take from their children. During the Holocaust, when the Jews were in the ghetto, they had the children, they would lower them over the wall to scrounge for food. Because since they were small, they could... But the children were risking their lives for the parents, and that's the last thing a parent wants to do, is to have to be a burden to the child. And so over here, opposite that burden that our children will take from them, or that our children will be taken away, here the children come back. And then also in general, it talks about the hostility of the nations of the world, how we live with anti-Semitism, how they would jeer at us. We're going to see in this prophecy that in the Messianic times, they'll look to us with a respect and with an honor. So we're going to see all of those over here. So let's begin. Kumi Ori, get up, rise and shine. We all heard that, you know, rise and shine. That's where, meaning that it's time to, when a person mourns, they're like sitting Shiva. They're like, they're mourning, they're sitting. And then it's time to get up. We say a person gets up from Shiva. So here also, it's time to get up from the exile. It's time to get up from the punishments and the difficulties that we've undergone. It's time for the times of comfort, the times of the Messianic times. So it's time to get up. It's time to remove ourselves from that way of thinking. And it's time to have light. Kibva oret. Now, how are we going to have light? It's been dark. But the answer is our light is coming. We're going to have a light. We're going to have that clarity. Ukavod Hashem alai hizrach. And the glory of Hashem will shine on us. That the light will come from Hashem. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain light when he taught, and they called that, it was like rays of light. Michelangelo took from a mistranslation, he took it horns. And that's why you'll run into certain people think Jews have horns. But it didn't mean horns, it actually meant rays of light. The teaching was so truthful and clear and special, there was a glow to it. And so that's described as a glory of Hashem will shine on them. It's because the earth was covered with a certain darkness. We live in a time of darkness where the hand of Hashem is concealed. And the nations, they live in a darkness, they live in a gloom. And they live in darkness, but on us, there'll be light. We have a clarity. We know where we're going. And Hashem's glory will shine on us. Now, verse 3. And all the nations will follow our light. And this is, there's another prophecy that will be a light unto the nations. In other words, it's almost like when you're in the dark, you follow the guy that has the torch. You know, you follow the guy that knows where he's going. Follow me, you know. So the nations will follow our lead. They will go in our light. Now, that's true for the nations, but what about the leaders of the nations? Umalachim lenoga zarchek, and the kings, the dictators, the different people, they will be waiting in line to follow the lights. They will have seen the light. Verse 4. And you pick up your eyes and look all around. And you will see that all the nations will have gathered around, and they will want to learn about Hashem, and they will want to be nice to us, and they will return our children. They will bring back our children from afar. In the times of the Holocaust, another time they seized our children. They're talking about opening the church's records from the Holocaust. They had tens of thousands of Jewish children that were in convents that they didn't give back. They baptized them. And they promised, in some cases they said they would give them back after the war, and the parents didn't survive. And there were brave Jews that went to places in Poland and in France to get back the Jewish children, and they wouldn't give them. They wouldn't. Rabbi Wein talks about, there was a Rabbi Herzog who was the chief rabbi of Israel, had gone to Europe to try to secure some of these children, and he cried because he said he wasn't able to. And he was speaking to Jewish children, and he said the obligation is on us to be those children, or to do it for those children who are it was such a tragedy. It's not, we were so busy rebuilding with those that we have, we forgot that there were tens of hundreds of children, thousands of children that were seized by the church. And right now they're still there. They grew up thinking they weren't Jewish, they didn't give them back. But when the messianic time comes, they'll bring our children back. They'll come from afar. Now, far can be from far away place, or it could be they've been estranged. Yavu b'nesecha, and your daughters, outside teimana, describes your sons and your daughters coming back. Verse 5. Az Tiri. There have always been people that have been skeptics who needed to see. He said, then you will see. Unaharta. And you'll be radiant. Upachar urachav levavech. And you will be a little bit fearful. And your heart will widen. Ki hafek aleh hamon yam. Because there'll be multitudes that will be looking to us. Right now we don't have that much responsibility, because we're just really for ourselves and our people. In future times, the whole world will be looking to the Jews to lead the way, and it's a little bit scary. I mean, imagine if every move you make, there if every one of your non-Jewish neighbors wants to know, and they look at you for help and for information, and for we have to be up to the task. My father, should be well with the first Jewish lawyer in his law firm. In those days, they didn't take, it took a while to, and he would say that he had to become the authority on Judaism. Whenever there was, they would always come to him and say, you know, they saw this on the news, and they, what's this, and what's that, and he had to study up on it to know exactly what to say, or what to, so that's the way it's going to be in Messianic times, except we got 2 billion Chinese, they're going to come, you know, and the Indians, and the, all the other ones, they're all going to want to know. There'll be like a sea of people. There's a lot of goyim doesn't just mean, it just means like the nations. There'll be nations coming all around. Now, when they come, they won't come empty-handed. That wouldn't be nice. You always know if somebody comes, they come and they bring tribute and they bring. So they will bring shifas gamol, and they'll bring. They'll be loaded with camels. In those days, the camels were the carriers, like the trucks. You know, they carried all the big. You know, if you wanted to transport, you'd load up the camels. So they're going to, in the future, they'll load up the you know, the trains or the trucks or whatever it may be. Bechrei Midjan, they'll come from the places of Midjan and Eifa, Kulam, Mishva, and from Sheba, from Africa. Now, they will come with precious metals. Zav, Ulavona, and incense, Yisu, Atila, Hashem, Yivatu. And they'll come with the praises of Hashem. They will know that the place of Hashem is Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting, even today, it's one of the top tourist destinations. Certainly now in the Middle East, it's the only safe country to go to. And every year they break new records for the amount of tourists that come to the land of Israel. And they, but part of it is religious motivated. They're aware that it's the birthplace of the of Judaism and of other religions. And they are looking for they're looking for a religious experience. And so these nations will come, and they will come with gifts of gold and other things, and they'll come with the praises of Hashem on their lips. Now, verse 7, Kol Tzon Keder Yikvetulach, and they'll be bringing very nice offerings. Most people learn that Gentiles will bring offerings, that Gentiles are allowed to bring offerings in the temple, though the synagogue or the Beis HaMikdosh was called the house of prayer for all nations. That my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. We're not used to that idea. You know, we have a men's section and a women's section, and we'll have to have a Gentile section. You know, like we'll have to have place for the people of all nations. Will be streaming in to seek out the presence of Hashem. And they'll be coming with the really big fat offerings. Yishas Nucha, Yawa Aratzim Mizbechi. And whereas in the prophecies of rebuke, Hashem says, "I don't want your offerings. They don't, you know, they're external. They don't mean anything." Here, Hashem says that the offerings will be accepted. That people that come with a sincerity and a desire to serve Hashem, that those offerings will be Aratzim. They'll be desirable. Ubei tifarti, and my house of glory, that's what I will brag about. There are some people that we don't have this experience today where we bring an offering and we feel a religious experience. We don't have a temple. Sometimes when you study it, you do get uplifted. There is a I've spent a few years studying some of the sections that deal with the temple, and I'll admit I've been to a slaughterhouse, and that does not impress me as a religious experience. But studying about the temple is very uplifting. It's very beautiful. It's just so hard to imagine or to what I can say though is, even though a person maybe doesn't understand exactly how it worked, we know it did work. We know that people that came, they heard beautiful music from the Levium, and they saw beautiful, you know, structure, and they saw unity. Jews from all parts were streaming there, and there was an organization, and there was a way. If you wanted to say give thanks, you went to this line and you ate this bread, and if you wanted to apologize, you needed to do a sin offering, so you went to this side, and if you were if you felt distant and you just wanted to say shalom because it's been a while since, so you'd bring shlomim. And so each person would come and they would bring the type of offering, and there were special place for the Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, and the women, and everybody had a place in the Beis HaMikdash to sit and where to go. And it was considered one of the great experiences for Jews and non-Jews. And that's, and again, it will become that way in the future. There are some people who have the idea that that there will never be, the temple was meant to be replaced. In fact, the original Reform movement, when they started calling their synagogues the temple, what they meant was, we're not going to have to go back to the old-fashioned temple. We're going to recreate. This is our temple, so to speak. So the truth is, had they meant it, we do call our synagogues the little temple. They are called like a... But it's clear from the prophets that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, that there'll be a new temple, and that it, we don't know... In Ezekiel, it describes it, and it has some differences from the future temple to the previous one, but it'll be similar to the way the old temple was, the King David's temple. It's not going to be drastically different, what the people do is there's a Rambam that says that some of the people would offer sacrifices to the idols, and so this was a way of offering sacrifices to Hashem, but he was trying to give a logic for it. He was trying to give an expression. He wrote that in the book of the Moreh Nevuchim, the book which he wrote for the people that are the Guide to the Perplexed. But the only point I'm trying to make, and which you see from the prophet, is that the temple will still play a role in the future, and it'll be a proud role and an inspirational role, as we're saying. It'll be a glorious house for all the nations, not just for us. At that time, how will the people get there? Where will they come from? You know, where are they going to come from? So, and where's the? So, it's very interesting the description here. So it says, "Mi eila ka'av tufena." It says like the people will be streaming in on the clouds. They'll come like a cloud, or like on the birds on the wings. It could be like the birds come back to the birdhouse. They'll come back to the nest. Mm-hmm. There's certain, you know, birds go off and they fly, but they come back home. So the Jewish people also, you know, we flew around for a few thousand years. Now we'll come back home. You know, we'll come back to. But just like they will like fly in. And up until 100 years ago, the only way to get to Israel was long boat trips, you know, for months. But now you take the cloud. You can fly. You're literally up there in the clouds. Here it is, the description at Messianic times, we would like kind of like fly back, which we have no problem. You know, certainly the wings of the plane are similar to the... Even in Egypt, where it describes like eagle's wings, it was never meant literally. We never really flew on the back of a bird. It means an expression very quickly or very, but here it's described as a cloud. Me Eila, who's flying in like the cloud? Who just like coming in and, you know, just like the cloud flies in, you know, you look up in the day, the clouds are moving. Now, what's going to come in the mail? Verse 9, Kili I Mikavu, from the far-off islands, they'll get together. Banias Tarshish, in those days Tarshish was like the far-off seaports, like the exotic seaports. So people will come from all kinds of places. Now, the first cargo will be bringing the children back. And again, we live in a time where you could see that. You can go to Israel and you see, you know, Jews from countries that were far off and were... it's really miraculous. And they're bringing, you know, the B'nai Menashe now are coming back from the tribe of Menashe that were, was that in India where they were, I think, the B'nai Menashe, or the, and they're Jews from Africa, and they're Jews from Russia, and you really witness that the first shipment back will be our children, will be Jewish people coming back to the land of Israel. And then we could take some gold and silver too. That's useful to build a country also, to have, you know, the kasbum muzav itam, and they'll come and they'll bring the wealth back with them, l'shem Hashem. And this money will be dedicated for Hashem Elokai, your God, Kaddish, the Holy One of Israel. He's our glory. And how will we have security? Now, when the second temple was built, they tried to build the walls and they were sabotaged. There were other nations trying to prevent us from building the walls. So when they built the walls, they had to have one hand the building and the other hand hold the weapons to ward off the enemies. That's how it's described in the book of Nehemiah. But in the third temple, it says that the walls will be built by strangers. Now, the interesting thing is, they recently have invested in walls in Israel to prevent infiltrations. And these were basically built by, it wasn't really Jewish labor. They were built by other people with funds that were given by America and other places. So, at a certain extent, the walls are being built by other countries, other peoples. The strangers, instead of us having to go out every day, the Jews at the end of a day's work would have to go, and there was no security unless you had a wall in those days, because the foreigners, marauding troops, could just come up and sack the city and attack people. And so it took 12 years till they had a decent wall around Yerushalayim. In the third temple, the security will be built, the walls that will be built will be built with B'nai Nechar. The strangers will do us a favor. They'll build it for us. U'malcheim, and not only will the workers do it, but their kings, the royals, the great ones of the nations of the world, they're going to volunteer. Ki b'chitzpi hikisayich. They were struck with Hashem's wrath. We were struck with Hashem's wrath. In other words, when we were sent out of the land of Israel and when our Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, u'b'ritzoni rechamticha. But it's my will, the same way as I got angry with you, now I will take mercy on you and take pity on you and bring you back. And this is part of the... we are very fortunate. We could easily see that some of this has started to come true in our time. We're not quite there yet, but we could see it happening. You could feel it on the horizon almost. Verse 11. U'pitchu sharek tamid. When you're afraid of foreign people, you always have to have all your doors locked, and you have to have chains, and you have to have the top lock and the bottom lock. But if you're not afraid of anything, you leave your door wide open. So when the Mashiach comes, even though we'll have the walls, we'll be able to leave our gates open. We'll have open gates open. We will feel so secure that we're not afraid. U'pitku sharek tami. Yom v'lai, day and night. We don't have to lock them at night. Why were we going to keep them open? L'havi elai chel goyim u'malcheim nehugim. Well, they'll come with the wealth of the nations. The nations will come to build up the land of Israel. U'malcheim nehugim. And they'll come with their leaders. The kings of the world will come to pay honor to Hashem. Verse 12. Ki agoy amlocha asher lo yavducha. Now, not everybody's going to want to do this. What about all the anti-Semites? And what about all the... Osama bin Laden's out there. What's going to happen to them? Well, if they don't want to join the team, if they don't want to get with the plan, Yovedu, they'll go lost. In other words, there are those that in Messianic times will come to belief in Hashem and will come to serve Hashem, and those that don't want to serve Hashem, Yovedu, they'll be lost. Bagoyim Yekrev, and they will be they'll be destroyed. Verse 13. Kavod ha-Lebanon elayich yavo, and the glory of Lebanon will come to us. It's so interesting how we always talk about Lebanon, but Lebanon actually we had this in the book of Shmuel, that the area of the temple was called the Lebanon. The word Levon means whiten, of purity, and when a person is purity means that they're cleansed of their sins, and when we are cleansed of our sins, when we come with the purity, with the whiteness, so then the honor will come. In other words, we will atone for our mistakes. There's also certain kind of trees that were very strong, beautiful wood, cedars of Lebanon. I don't think they have them anymore, though. I don't know. I think the Crusaders wiped them all out, it's not known today for the... But it's clear that in ancient times, that was where you got your wood from. They had the best, really strong wood, good wood... there are many things that with the marauding armies and the receding of the desert that are no longer what they used to be. But the honor of the Lebanon will come, Barosh Tidho, Ba'asher Yachtov, they'll come with the cypresses and the trees and all these types of woods, Lefor Mokamich, and they will make the area of my Beis HaMikdash beautiful. There'll be all kinds of materials that will flow in. Umakum ragle akaved, and the place where my feet will be honored. Verse 14. Now, what about all the people that have oppressed us? What's going to be with them? Beholcha elayik shechoke b'nei maniyecha. The children of those that afflicted you will come bent over to you. Now, there are like German volunteers that came to the land of Israel to help build the land of Israel. There were times when they used to volunteer for the kibbutzim, the people that felt guilty who were descended from Nazis and others. Some of them converted. I wouldn't say large numbers, but I've heard of several. I've met one. people who were descended from Nazis and had a hard time with that. They couldn't imagine the wickedness of their families or the. But the children, people descended from these people that have afflicted us, they will come and they will be very embarrassed of the role that their family played in harming the Jewish people. And they will come, Hakai, they'll be bent feet, Kol Menatzech, all those that harmed us, the Karolacha Ir Hashem. And they will call it the city of Hashem Tzion, the city of Zion, of Holy One of Israel. No more they're going to talk about splitting it or their Jerusalem or their. They're going to come and they're going to acknowledge that this is the city of Hashem. Verse 15. Tachas Yosecha Zuva Sunua. And instead of being abandoned and hated, they ain't over and nobody traveled through the Middle East. V'santicha L'gon Olam. Instead, you will be the destination. You'll be an everlasting pride. Mesos Dor V'Dor, the glory of all generations. Like a very beautiful messianic, you know, picture of the redressing the things that had happened before, how they were temporary. And the interesting thing is, he predicted all of this before the temple was ever destroyed. In other words, he predicted that we would go into exile and that there'd be anti-Semitism and the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed. And at the same time, he saw the future that it would be rebuilt to an even greater glory. The Anata. Cholev Goyim. Very funny picture here. It says we're going to nurse from the Gentiles. So how does it mean we're going to nurse from the Gentiles? So some people say it means that they have things, they will share their mother's milk with us. They will want to give us, they will want to nurture us. That's what it means, like the relationship that we'll have will be like a mother to a child. They will want to take care of us and nurture us. V'shom melachim tinochi, and even the kings, sometimes the people, we had times where the people themselves we were okay with, but the monarchs didn't like the land of Israel because they claimed they were gods, and so they never liked. The Jewish people were the only ones that didn't bow down to the foreign kings. In other words, all the peoples would come and bow to the foreign king, but the Jew never would bow to the foreign king, right? I mean, that's the thing about Purim, that Mordechai wouldn't bow down to Haman. That's why he got so aggravated and upset. Everybody bows down. What do you mean you won't bow down to me? And so sometimes the people themselves, they like the Jews, but the leaders, they didn't like the idea that the only real king is Hashem. So in the future, though, the kings will be the opposite. They themselves will come and they will want to provide for the Jewish people. Miyadati ki ani Hashem Moshiach, and people will know that our salvation comes from Hashem. V'goleich aver Yaakov, and he's redeeming the mighty one of Yaakov. Verse 70, Tachas Nechoshes. Now, we were known to a certain poverty, or we had to rebuild things with copper. So Hashem says the replacement will be even better. You'll get an upgrade. Everything will be upgraded. Instead of copper, guess what? You'll get gold. And instead of iron, avi kesev, you'll get silver. And instead of wood, you'll get copper. Everything, wherever you're at, you'll get an upgrade. Everybody gets one free upgrade. V'tachas avadim barzilei standu gesei shalom. And then we're going to have our politicians. So we're going to get an upgrade too, because sometimes you have politicians that are not good. They cause fighting in between. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you politicians that'll be peaceful, that'll bring peace. Bisamti pikudusech shalom. I will give you officers that are peace, that bring peace. But Nogshaik and your police force will work with tzedakah, will work with righteousness. And that's a blessing. It's very hard. it's hard. We when we have politicians, we can't have faith in. It really is hard. You say another scandal, another this, and look what's going. You don't like either party. They're all equally bad, and it's all true. It's just so, we look for the, we've heard that there were great politicians that cared about the country and gave of themselves, and but where are they? it's a sadness when we can't find leaders to look up to. When I grew up, I'm not that old, but when we all grew up, we used to look up to our presidents. We used to think highly of them. And now we know maybe it wasn't so true, maybe it was true, maybe they were so good, but at least we were taught that, it gave us a certain security that, wow, the president was, the... but part of the blessing will be that we will be given good, righteous leaders. We will be given leaders that will bring peace and deal with threat, not corruption. One of the challenges we had was that people sometimes had money taken away from them by robbers and by scammers. Lo yishma'ud chamas bartzecha. You won't have any more of that in your land. There'll be no place for that. Of people that will take advantage of other people, people that will rip off other people. Shod v'shev v'lecha. There'll be no terrorism, none of that. V'karasi yeshua chamosayach. And there'll be salvation in your borders. And usharecha tila, and there'll be a place of praise. Verse 19, lo yilecha od hashamish la'or yamov lenoga yireach lo yara lecha. And you won't have to work out the way things work in this world. We have sunset, the sun shining, and then it goes down, and then it's dark and cold, and we feel insecure because in the dark. In those days, people didn't go out after dark. It just wasn't. Certain parts of town, you don't go out after dark also. Right. It's not a good idea. Because the dark is when people prey on other people. It's not safe. And so in Messianic times, there won't be a dark. There won't be a... the sun won't go down. It won't be that the sun will go down and you'll just have the light of the moon. Now, there's another thing. There's a famous medrash. It says that when Hashem created the world, he originally had an idea that there'll be two luminaries. There'll be the sun and the moon. And why shouldn't they be equal? They'll both will have lots of light. And the moon came forward and said, well, you can't have two kings. You can't have too many cooks spoil. You got to have one boss. So Hashem said, that's a great idea. Then we'll make the sun the boss. Right? So what the Medrash was telling us something over here that... the moon, sometimes when you try to advance yourself at someone else's expense, then that, then a person gets... But in Messianic times, there's an idea that sometimes they have two perfectly good candidates, but you have to appoint one in charge, so the other one has to play second fiddle. In Messianic times, there'll be no second fiddle. The moon will come back, so to speak. It'll become the great luminary that it was. And so it's described as there'll be no more moon, there'll be no more darkness. The next verse we're going to read, I'm going to finish this verse, we say this to the mourner, that you'll have. We wish everyone that's had terrible things happen to them, terrible losses, that this be the last loss, and that your son not sad anymore. In other words, when somebody Nebuch lost somebody that was beloved to them, it's like their son sat in midday. It's like they lost their son, their protection, their light, their glory. And so we say to them that no more. It's enough. There'll come a time when people won't have to live through tragedy and pain. And so that's part of the symbolism over here, that you won't have to experience the sun going down. Lo yir l'v'hayelcha l'or olam. You'll have light forever. And Hashem will be your glory. This is the verse, and when the person gets up from Shiva, they read this verse to them. Lo yavo o chimsheikh. No, you won't have to, your sun won't set anymore. It shouldn't have to set. V'yechayech lo yaseh. Because Hashem will be to you for a light. And it's also that we say that Hashem comforts the people. Find comfort in Hashem. Hashem made us, put us in a harsh world. And the harshness is taken off with Hashem's presence. Hashem is the ultimate source of comfort. But certainly, in Messianic times, we no longer will face these great tragedies. V'shomi yamei avleich, and the days of mourning will be finished. No more of that. We don't need any more of that. That's certainly enough. Now, the only problem is that we sin, and because we sin, there's a need for punishment, and there's a need for... No, Hashem says, everybody will be righteous. It's a it's an interesting expression. How can everybody? But there's the idea that some people say we will not have the evil, the Yetzirah that convinces us to do bad, that always tempts us. That perhaps in Messianic times it won't be here in the same way. And so if we don't have the Yetzirah, then it's easy to be righteous. On the other hand, we won't have a chance for reward. You know, there won't be, because everybody will be righteous. People are going to have to reserve their seats for the, you know, we won't have any spare seats for the class, you know. You got the, because there won't be, Amekulim Zalolim Yushorets, and they will inherit the land. Neitzim Mate Masiyah, and I will take glory in my, the work of my hands, which is the Jewish people. And there's another very important concept, and that is, sometimes people feel that we're not as numerous. Look at look at all the peoples out there. Look at all the Chinese. Look at all the Hashem never works with numbers. You know, even the few, each person is a whole world. And Hakat Yiel Aleph, the person who's small, he will be the thousand. He will be the most numerous. Vat Soher, and the low person, the simple person, Lagoy Atzum, he will be the strongest. So, you know, the Jewish people that was never very strong and never very numerous, all of a sudden the small little Israel will be la'elef, they will be for thousands, and they will be a mighty nation. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now, the last two words, there are books written on, which is very interesting, because everybody, it's such a beautiful prophecy, like, you know, we're ready, we're waiting, when, you know, hopefully soon. So, when is this going to happen? So, the first verse says beito, it'll happen at the right time. The second word, achishenu, means we will bring it on. Achishenu. My verse doesn't translate well. It says I will hasten it. But so then the famous question is: all right, we want Mashiach now. Does that mean can we make it happen sooner? In other words, this sounds pretty good. No more mourning, you know. No more, our children will come back, and only happiness, and no more sadness, and the glory of Hashem, and the wealth and the might, and all the nations will want to do what's right, and we won't have to worry about the wicked. So let's do it now. But it says the ito, it'll happen when it's meant to happen. But and then on the other hand, it says achishenu. And so the basic answer given in the Talmud and other places is that if we earn it, if we merit it, if we, as a people, get our act together, so Hashem can bring redemption right then and there. Mm-hmm. So that's if we merit it. In other words, we can bring the Mashiach. So it doesn't come by saying we want Mashiach now. That's why it's actually controversial, that song, we want Mashiach now, because you can want it all you want. That's not what does it. You have to bring Mashiach. You have to, if a person works on being a better person and doing good for others, that brings the Mashiach. If you want to bring the Mashiach, so volunteer, help other people, do mitzvahs. That's what brings the Mashiach. If you want him to come sooner, then we have to be ready to receive him. We have to work on bringing righteousness. But we're guaranteed that if we don't somehow fix it, mankind spins around. Every generation makes almost the same mistakes. It's very frustrating, right? We see the same. Sometimes we see our children in the next generation, and we say, "Wow, you know, they really look like, you know, we're proud of it. We hope maybe that they'll fix what, you know." And then other times we see the same mistakes, and we see history repeating itself, and we say, "What's going to be?" So Hashem guarantees either you will merit it, or which is achishenu, or beito, or it'll come in its time. And so hopefully we'll see it speedily soon.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.